Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Matthew chapter 19, this is our final message in Make Space, a series on making space for God to be God. Jesus answered and said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. He said, it's hard. It's not impossible. It's just very, very difficult. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm making space tonight, and I'm glad I get to sit next to you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Get your hopes up, Living Way. I hope that hopes are rising. We are getting ready to finish the first quarter of a brand new year. And we are fastly approaching. It's hard to believe we're talking about summer camps and been talking with the team about VBS and all of the great things that summer's holding. And so I want to encourage you, don't waste any more time. Get your hopes up and keep them up. And make sure you're doing things every day of your life that's building hope, that's building your faith. And I'm glad you're here tonight to make some more space for Jesus. In this series, we are encouraging you to identify and do away with anything and everything and everybody that is preventing us from fully following Jesus. We're also encouraging you to identify anything and everything that is preventing you from going all in. I love when people go all in for kingdom. And what we've seen over the last few months, and now probably closer to a year or maybe longer, is we've been seeing God not just do things in single individuals, we've been seeing God do things in families. Entire families coming to church, coming to the altar, being baptized together and receiving something from God. I was reaching out to a family that's here tonight, and I said, hey, I love the fact that you come and you sit up close. And I said, it's always good when we fill those first few rows because it just helps us. It helps us when we film, but it also helps just the atmosphere in that altar. And so I thought she had a family of four or five. I said, how many come with you? She said, oh, we got 11 come with us every service. If every one of us brought 11 people, we'd have to open the balconies next Wednesday night. And you know what? Shame on me, because I know 11 people that need Jesus. I know more than 11 that are hurting. I know 11 people that are depressed. I know 11 people that are anxious. I know 11 people that have quit driving everywhere because they're scared about gas prices. I know 11 people that are glued to CNN and Fox, and they're not being able to live like they want to live. And so making space for God, seeing him do it in families and going all in is amazing. We're encouraging you to declutter your spirit. Man, I've got a garage that never seems to be clean. Because when we're tired of it in the house, we put it in the garage. You know why? I don't even know why we call it a garage anymore. It's just a big closet is all it is in most of us do not park our cars in the garage. We park our cars out in the, and then when the hailstorms start rolling through, we start trying to figure out a way we can put our car in the garage. So decluttering our spirit, making space, creating physical and spiritual space for God to do what he wants to do through us and in us. No matter how long you've lived for Jesus, church, there is more room. There is more to Jesus than you know. If you want God to renovate your life, we got to make space. If you want God to do something new in your life, we must make space. And going to our original text, Matthew 19, verse 16. A rich young ruler, then a man came to Jesus and asked him, teacher, what is the good thing I must do to get eternal life? Right question, but he asked it the wrong way. It was tough for this rich young ruler. We talked last week. It's tough for the rich to find Jesus because they have too much stuff in their life. It's tough for the young to find Jesus because they feel like they have time. And then it's always, always tough for people in places of authority because people get used to telling everybody else what to do. And they won't allow God to tell them what to do. You know, one of the things that I miss about being 16 and 17 is you had just enough responsibility that mom and dad would let you leave with the car, but you didn't have to pay many bills. That was a good place to be. Just enough authority to be able to go to the movies and hang out, but not having to pay mortgages and rent and light bills. Oh, man, sometimes in my life I wish I could go back because I didn't know how good I had it. And I'm here to tell you and help you relieve some of the pressure off of your life. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to call all the shots and make every decision. God is anxiously waiting, saying, hey, there's a way for you to make good decisions. There's a way for you to walk in wisdom. And if you'll make space for me, I will come in and I will give you everything that you need. The rich young ruler called Jesus by what he was doing. He called him teacher, not for who he was. Can I just encourage you? He is a healer, but remember, he's the Son of God. He's a deliverer, but remember, he's the only way to get to heaven through to the Father. I love what God does for me, but oh, I'm in love with who he is. Man, when Colton started singing, nothing else, nothing else, I mean, my tears just began to well up in my eyes because it wasn't because of what he did. I just was so grateful to be in his presence tonight. Do you realize on a Wednesday night, you are a special people to leave your job, to fight traffic, to get here tonight? Why did we do that? Because nothing compares to what we have found when we found Jesus, not for what he can do. Listen, are you mature enough in your faith to say, God, you don't even have to do anything tonight. I just want to be in your presence. I remember when Mandy and I were dating, it was always about what we were going to do. Now that we've been married 19 years, Sister Cindy, it doesn't matter what we do as long as we are together. That's what real relationship looks like. When we start making space for Jesus, it's not, God, what are we going to do today? It's just, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be with you. I want to take part in it. And God, I'm just glad I'm along for the ride. And I want to encourage you, the way he approaches him, he's asking the right questions. He's asking them the wrong way. And I say this so many times, Jesus is more than your homeboy. God is more than the man upstairs and the keeper of the stars. He is my Savior. He is the lover of my soul. He is everything to me. The rich young ruler said, what must I do? What good thing must I do? He was looking for something to do, not someone to serve. In Matthew 19, 17, why do you ask what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Do the word. He said, you can't do enough by yourself to get to eternal life and to get to heaven. And so he said, the only way you can get to heaven is to do the word. And to do the word, you've got to be close to Jesus. Verse 18. I love what he says in the NIV. He says, which one, after Jesus says, keep the commandments, which one, he inquires. Which one is a bare minimum question? We have far too many bare minimum believers that we're asking, do I have to go to church? And there is, and I believe the Bible talks about a great falling away. Can I encourage you, church, wake up. Be those woke believers that understand what's going on. Deconstruction, ex-evangelicals, that is apostasy. That is the great falling away. And I'm not here to bring doom and gloom, but I'm here to tell you that has to happen because what is a revival? A revival is bringing things that were once alive that died back to life. And so I want to encourage you today. God is going to bring them back. Pray for them. Love them. Don't scream at them. Don't holler at them. Don't condemn them. Love them and let the conviction of the Holy Spirit bring them back. I do business with a lot of people. When they find out I'm a pastor, they say, oh yeah, I go to such and such church. And I say, who's the pastor there? Well, we just call him pastor. That means they don't know his name. That means that happens to be the church they went to last Easter or Christmas. but that's not the one that they're invested in. They're surely not serving there if they can't even give the name of somebody that is a leader there. And so I want to encourage you today, let us not be bare minimum. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, that if you're here on a Wednesday night, most likely you are not a bare minimum person. But can I encourage you that God's calling does not stop at the end of Living Ways Campus. When God calls you to do great things in faith, that's Thursday just like it is Sunday. That's Friday just like it is Wednesday. And I don't ever want to be caught saying, God, of everything you said to do, what are the things I have to do to get to heaven? I want to just be able to say, God, if you call me to do it, that's what I'm going to do. If you called me to it, you've called me through it. If you've called me to it, you're going to give me the power and the resources and the provision to fulfill your call on my life. He said, which ones? Which ones out of the 10? Which ones? What's the bare minimum I have to do? Remember, his whole approach is to not go to hell. It's to go to heaven. Can I tell you, heaven is a great benefit for us believers. But I'm so glad that it's not the only benefit. I follow Jesus, not just because I don't want to go to hell. I follow Jesus because, as the Old Testament said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, after I follow Jesus all in, wholeheartedly, after I've made space for him, and after all the mistakes I've made, God still shows up. I want to encourage those of you in the room and online today, don't believe the devil's lie. Don't believe the adversary when he tells you you are too far gone. Nope, all you've got to do is create some space today. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, create space. Maybe you've said yes to Jesus 100 times, create space. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for decades, create space. Make space. Don't be a bare minimum believer. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness. Come on now. Honor your father. Honor your mother. See, some of us were really good at the do not murder part. Oh, I got that one. Do not steal. I got that one. Listen, just because you're not stealing cars or reenacting Ocean's 11 doesn't mean you're a thief. Because you get paid for a 40-hour work week, which does not include you being on Instagram for 3 of those hours. That means you're stealing company time. If you are paid by the hour, I knew it'd get quiet there. You gossiping at the water cooler, that is thievery. That is stealing. And so let's not get on our high horse just because we haven't stolen a car. Come on now. Thou shalt not murder. I got that one. That's right. Preach it, Pastor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, I got that one, do you? Because Jesus said, if you look, come on now. You've already committed adultery here. So thou shalt not steal. I got that one. Preach it, Pastor. I've done that one. We're just like that rich young ruler, thinking that our works and what we've done is going to get us there. Do not give false testimony, false witness, bear false witness. You know what I love to talk about that one? Being something somewhere that you weren't on Sunday morning. Don't be fake. Hot or cold. In or out. Some of us never quit playing the hokey pokey once we grew up. We put our left foot in on Sunday morning and we put our left foot out. We put our right foot in on Wednesday night. You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. If it's convicting you, that's him and not me. I'm just trying to get us all in. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, the guy holding the mic, I got real good at hokey pokey in my life for a while. But once I came all the way in and I saw what God could do, and I saw what his peace could do, and I saw what his love could do, and I saw what his anointing could do, I never wanted to leave his presence again, and I always am making space. Honor your father and mother. Now we're getting to the tough ones. Not honoring publicly, not honoring with our mouth in front of them. And when I say honor them, the Bible says, obey your parents, for this is right. Not their right, because the principle is right. You know, when God gives us the word, he is not asking us to make on-the-spot decisions based on how they are acting or how they are reacting. When God says turn the other cheek, you got to Chris Rock when the devil Will Smith. You got to stand there and say, hey, I'm not going to fight you back. I'm not going to. Why? Because we're in front of people and that's not who I am. Listen, if a man like Chris Rock can stand there and be slapped across the face, I want to tell you, as a believer full of the Holy Ghost, when the devil comes at me through other people, we can stand there. Doesn't mean we get walked all over, but what it means is God, I'm going to honor, because when I have a culture of honor and when other people are watching how I react through the bad times, it brings you honor. How did you go through that and not respond like the old you? Come on, the old you. The old you couldn't get through traffic without dropping four-letter words. But Jesus. The old you couldn't get through traffic without telling somebody they're number one. And we didn't even know you knew American Sign Language. But Jesus. The old you that didn't make room for Jesus. That's why the Bible says, give no space to the devil. Give no place. I love this. The old saying says, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take what? Oh, but what if you give God an inch? What if you were to give? See, on a Wednesday night, you're saying, God, 168 hours in the week, God, I'm going to carve out this 80 minutes for you, and I'm going to give it to you on Wednesday night. And people say, why do you go to church on Wednesday night? Because when I give God an inch, he's going to take a mile. He's going to do something huge in my life. Could it be that on a Wednesday night that God drops a revelation in your life that brings salvation to your family? Could it be like Mario prophesied on a Wednesday night, God drops an idea in your mind and in your spirit that funds kingdom and blesses your family? I'm here to tell you, give no place to the devil, but make space for Jesus, and he will blow your mind with his will, with his plan, with his purpose, with his destiny. He said, honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's a popular meme. Who is my neighbor? Everyone you meet. Your gay neighbor. Your straight neighbor. Your trans neighbor. Your Muslim neighbor. Your Buddhist neighbor. Your black neighbor. Your brown neighbor. Your yellow neighbor. Your red neighbor. Your Baptist neighbor. Your Catholic neighbor. Your Pentecostal neighbor. Your Democrat neighbor, your Republican neighbor, your Tea Party neighbor, your Coffee Party neighbor. I don't know if that's the thing yet, but I'm sure it will be. Love your neighbor as yourself. Some of us don't think a lot of who we are. Why? Because we can tell what we think about ourselves by how we treat other people. Because you're always treating them, loving them as you love yourself. And so I want to encourage you, if you've got hatred in your heart, fix yourself. Start loving you. You say, well, I don't like. Oh, I love what God created. I know my flesh gets in the way, but I'm so grateful that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. I am so grateful that Genesis 1 tells me that I am created. You are created in the image of God. And so I'm going to love you. And here's the thing. I don't have to agree with you to love you. I don't have to party with you to love you. I don't have to understand you. You don't have to understand me, but I can love you. And by loving you, I make space for God in me, but I also make space for God in you. Love your neighbor. You say, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you've got to go overboard. It just means that you are a light. The light and the salt that Jesus has called us to be, and we become that for the world. And by doing that, you are showing them love, because instead of complaining and keeping your head down as you walk to get in your car and your neighbor's standing, instead of smiling real big and waving at them, and how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Boom. You just loved your neighbor. You know, I'm blessed can be the greatest two-word sermon that they've ever heard. Because when you say, I'm blessed, that's a religious greeting in their ears. Now they're having God thoughts, even if they're an atheist. And I believe if an atheist thinks about God long enough, that they're going to come over to our side. And when an atheist comes over to our side, you talk about a soul-winning machine. You have somebody that used to say God doesn't exist, but now they say, oh, God does exist because I said he didn't, and he showed up and said this, did this, moved this, changed my life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, not even a breath is taken. The rich young ruler says, all these I have kept. I'm glad that thou shalt not lie was right here. Because I'm sure he's kept them all, but I'm sure there were some moments where he had some thoughts about mom and dad. I'm sure there were some moments where he looked at that young lady with lust in his heart. Come on now. I'm being real now. That's the world we live in. You can't even watch commercials, y'all. Commercials that are our air today would have never been shown as dramatic series 20 years ago, 25 years ago. All these I've kept. What do I still lack? So this is what Jesus said. Or this is what he said to Jesus. He said, everything you're asking that I do, I've done it. Jesus shifts the conversation, and this is where we're going to end tonight, to what the young man was doing, to what the young man had. Jesus can always deal with what you're doing if you give him space to work. So Jesus said, now let me, you've done all of these things. Well, let's not talk about what you're doing because I can't get to you by what you're doing because everything I'm telling you to do, you said you've already done. But he said, what do you have? You say, how do I know that Jesus was talking about what he had? Because he shifts the conversation. If you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. This is the most Jesus has ever talked to a potential disciple. We talked about it last session. He walks up to Matthew, who's Levi, and he just says, follow me. There is no discourse. There is no begging. There is no benefits package included. He just says, follow me. And the Bible says that Levi forsook all, arose, and followed him. Isn't it amazing that everybody that follows Jesus, we know their name. But the one who didn't, we know him as a rich young ruler. Your identity is not found in what you do. Your identity is always found in what you follow. He was a rich young ruler. If he would have been a follower of Jesus, we wouldn't call him a rich young ruler because now we're calling him by what he does. What we would call him by is his name, but I don't know his name and you don't know his name. Why? Because he refused to follow Jesus. If you're sitting here tonight or watching online and you're saying, Pastor Brandon, I need identity. I'm having an identity crisis and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Maybe they're watching today or maybe it's going to be archived and they're going to watch in the years to come. But all of this thing where people are confused about what gender they are. That's identity. Oh, I got quiet. Listen, it needs to be said. If you're having identity issues, look to Jesus. If you're having identity issues, follow Jesus. Because when you find him, you'll find you. When you find him, you'll find your calling. When you find him, you'll find your purpose. When you find Jesus, I'm preaching better than your amen. Why? Because some of us have family members that are dealing with that. Some of us have friends and coworkers that are dealing with that. And again, they're my neighbors, so I love them. But I love them enough to tell them there is a better way than the way you're going. Follow Jesus. And you'll get your identity. He said, sell it all, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Three words if you're taking notes. Don't leave early. Don't leave early. He thought Jesus was done with this conversation. He left early. He was sad. He was disappointed. Listen, I've been to games with Bishop, and because he was my ride, when we used to go to the Spurs game all the time, sometimes we'd leave in the third quarter. The only time I leave a game early is if there's a 30-point lead by either team. I was at an overtime game late in the season. Fourth quarter just ends. 5 minutes is put on the clock. And dad says, you ready to go? You ready to go? Are you kidding me? This is what we live for. Yeah, I ain't living for this. Let's beat the traffic. So I'll just give you two options. Do you think we stayed for the game or do you think we beat the traffic? We beat the traffic. You're exactly right. Don't leave early. Some of us leave because we think it's over. Some of us leave because we think what Jesus is requiring of us is way too much. Jesus will never require anything of you that he will not make up to you as you follow him. But you're going to have to let it go. Why? Because letting go of what you're holding on to, church, is the test. It's the ultimate test that God, once I found you, I don't need that. Once I found you, I don't need them. Once I found you. He went away disappointed. Disappointment, write this down, is a liar and a thief. What's the lie of disappointment? The lie of disappointment means that today it's over. Disappointment doesn't remind you there's a tomorrow. As bad as this day was maybe in your life, there's going to be a Thursday with your name on it. You say, man, March has been a tough month. Well, I got good news. April's coming. 2021 was tough. Hey, we're in 2022. You say, man, this first quarter was tough. Man, there's still three quarters left. Don't worry. I don't watch many Spurs games anymore, but I always go to the box score and I look at who was leading at the end of one, two, third, and fourth quarter because I want to see how that game played out. The other night, the Spurs were outscored, I think it was 16 points in the first quarter. But over the next three quarters, they clawed their way back into that game and they won that game. Don't leave early. God has guaranteed us to win. We are winners through him, but you can't win if you quit. You are guaranteed to win if you just stay in the game following Jesus. Sometimes I run after Jesus. Sometimes I jog. Sometimes I walk. But there are some days, church, that I've got to crawl after him. Follow you. I'm not going to leave early. I got to get through this quick. Just give me a couple more minutes. I'm out of time. When the young man heard this, he walked away. Disappointment is a liar. It's a thief. It steals from you. It steals your future. He had fallen. Listen to this, church. The rich young ruler fell in love with what he had, but he didn't have the vision and focus for what he could and would have if he followed Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, remember, he left early. So that's Jesus with the 12. Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not impossible, it's hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Hard but not impossible. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're going to make space because with Jesus, all things are possible. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. You're going to make space for God because with Jesus, all things are possible. I don't know what I'm going to do at my job. You're going to make space because with God, all things are possible. Stand on your feet. When you make space for Jesus, you make the impossible possible. Peter answered and said, we've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? You say, why was it so easy for Peter, who was a cussing, double-minded, bipolar, Simon Peter, fishing naked, cussing people out, cutting people's ears off, and denying Jesus Christ? What did he have? Why was it so easy for him to follow Jesus? Easy. He was a failing fisherman.